Equality Matters, brought to you by the Equality Commission. Hello and welcome to this edition of Equality Matters, where we'll be looking at dealing with bullying and harassment in the workplace. In a very broad sense, the legal position is that employers are responsible for preventing harassment, or the onus is certainly on them to try and stop that type of behaviour from occurring or reoccurring if it happens once. So if you're in a business, it's important to make clear to everyone what types of behaviour are not acceptable. My name is Naomi McMullen. Joining me is Paul Oakes from the Equality Commission. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Naomi.
Paul, in your considerable experience, how widespread a problem is bullying and harassment in the workplace?
I think it would be fair to say, Naomi, that it is not uncommon. We have to remember that we have legislation in Northern Ireland to deal with harassment, certainly, since the 1970s. So that's 40 years ago. It's rare nowadays to have name calling and terms such as fenian or hon used, or cripple or spastic. That's uncommon. But harassment and bullying tends to be more subtle. People who engage in it do it in a more intelligent way than they would have done historically.
Well, what's the impact of these type of behaviours in the workplace?
Well, broadly speaking, Naomi, you can look at the impact on the organisation and the individual who's harassed or bullied. At an organisational level, there's clear evidence to show that at its most basic, it impacts negatively on staff morale. Clearly, as a result of that, it impacts on things like productivity and profitability, and it can have an impact, obviously, therefore, on things like share prices in the private sector. It also makes it difficult for companies, if they have a problem with harassment, to access inward investment, particularly from the United States, but also from Europe. And it's extremely difficult to access public sector government contracts if a company has a history of harassment or bullying occurring within its workplace. At a personal level, bullying and harassment can simply make a person feel demotivated at work. More seriously, we come across situations where people cannot go to work, they suffer depression, they may never work again. And in some cases, you will have people who cannot physically walk into a workplace, not just their own workplace, any workplace. And sadly, one also will see people losing their life to suicide as a result of harassment and bullying.
So the stakes can be very, very high. Getting back into the nitty-gritty of it, what's the difference between bullying and harassment in terms of the legal position?
In relation to the law, there is one key difference in that individuals are afforded protection against harassment under the equality statutes or the equality legislation. So, for example, the legislation on gender equality provides protection against women or men who suffer sexual harassment. And likewise, the disability legislation affords protection to disabled people. However, bullying is not covered specifically under equality legislation. Now, that's not to say you are not afforded legal protection. Individuals can use other laws, such as health and safety legislation, unfair dismissal, constructive dismissal, or protection against harassment order to afford them legal protection.
And Paul, crucially, a business also needs to be aware of the behaviour of clients and customers. That's something a lot of people may not realise.
It certainly does, Naomi. Some of the equality legislation that operates in Northern Ireland affords protection to staff who may be harassed by customers. And that is an important legal point for businesses. In addition to that, however, many employers, in terms of their own internal policies, apart from the law, will afford protection to their employees in relation to harassment from service providers and customers. So there is a legal protection, but there is also the other protection that businesses will afford their staff for business reasons. It is important to note that in Northern Ireland, there is a concept of protection from third-party harassment, which is still part of our law. That has been repealed in Great Britain, so it will not apply to businesses in Northern Ireland in terms of their operations in GB.
How do you know, though, when a line has been crossed in terms of bullying and harassment? I'm thinking around banter, for example.
from our experience, Naomi, we believe that in the vast majority of cases, an individual will know when they have crossed the line.
And there's no excuse saying, oh, I didn't mean to offend anyone.
No, there's not. If we take some practical examples, I think all of us would agree that we know in 2016, it's not acceptable to call a disabled person a cripple or a spastic. It's not acceptable to use terms like fenian and hon. It's not acceptable for male employees to go to work and put their arms and their hands on women in the workplace. We know that that's not acceptable. Now, if one does inadvertently cross the line, then it's simply a matter of putting your hands up and saying, I'm sorry, I got it wrong, I apologise. And in the vast majority of cases, that will resolve the matter. If we look at the issue of whether we know when we've crossed the line or not, a useful example would be one I came across in my working past, where I was working with a company and the senior manager had a picture of a half-naked woman on his wall behind his desk. And the female employees were very annoyed about this, understandably, because they felt that it set the culture within that office, within that organisation. The response of the male manager was, "Ah, it doesn't matter, it's a joke, nobody's offended by it." I suggested to the manager that perhaps we bring his wife or daughter in to view the calendar to see what their reaction would be. His attitude immediately changed. His voice was raised. He became aggressive to some extent and said, well, there's no need to do that. Now, that's an example where I believe clearly the individual knew what the impact of the calendar was, but wasn't accepting it, and is just, again, further evidence that in the vast majority of cases, we know when we have crossed the line. Simply think about it yourself. And if you feel that you may be near the line, step back.
And if you're dealing with bullying or harassment in the workplace, what are the key issues that need to be addressed?
There are several key issues that we recommend to all employers. Firstly, they must have a policy in relation to bullying and harassment, which explains what it is and contains a clear commitment to prevent bullying and harassment in the workplace. Second of all, we need to ensure that all employees, managers, are aware of their responsibilities under the legislation. And third of all, we need a clear practical commitment from the company to deal with bullying and harassment when it occurs. So rather than letting it happen, they need to deal with it straight away in an effective and an efficient manner and within the time frame included within their policy.
Well, they say prevention is often better than cure. What would be your tips for a business to ensure that an unhealthy culture just doesn't creep in?
Well, if we think about how and why an unhealthy culture creeps into any organisation, Naomi, it's very simple. That it means that some individuals within an organisation have power and they have the ability and desire to misuse that power against other individuals or groups of individuals. So to address bullying and harassment, an organisation needs to ensure that individuals or groups are not in a position where they can misuse power and harass or bully people because of their social background. And that's the key challenge for organisations that want to address an unhappy or an unhealthy working environment.
And for people listening, where can they get more information and practical examples if they're dealing with bullying and harassment or want to learn more about how to prevent it?
The best place to get further information would be the Commission's website on www.equalityni.org, or alternatively to contact the Commission through our inquiry line on 02890 890 888.
Paul Oakes from the Equality Commission, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Naomi.
Equality Matters, brought to you by the Equality Commission.